This is Mac Format This Week. 30 minutes of news, reviews, Q&A, and features from the world of the Macintosh, iPod, and iPhone. Coming up on this edition, our Leopard install FAQ.
The big deciding factor, I think, is Time Machine. We've talked about this a lot. Time Machine is a great backup utility. Apple have got it right first time with this one.
Trevor Middleton tells you what you need to know before clicking on that Leopard install icon. And tis the season to buy something extra for that lonely Mac.
We've got some great gifts in this Christmas gift guide this year round. We've got them in three different price brackets, so there's basically something for everybody, and there's something for everybody's budget as well.
Chris Finn gives you nine great Christmas crackers for the holiday season. All that and more coming up on this edition of Mac Format This Week. With the resources of Mac Format Magazine, this is Mac Format This Week. Hi again, everyone. I'm Brad Gibson. So it's been exactly a month since the debut of macOS 10.5, better known as Leopard. On our 29th of October show, Chris Finn went in-depth with us on what you should know about Leopard and its key features. Since then, we've been able to peer deeper inside Leopard and find out not only some of its features, but also investigate how best to install and use it with minimal hassles. So whether you've already upgraded or just now getting around to doing so, we've got valuable tips for you in this edition about Leopard. A familiar name and voice to this program, Trevor Middleton, has been playing around with Leopard for months now, since its early beta versions. And in the December issue of Mac Format, Trevor goes in-depth with the new OS in his 12-page feature, How to Install Leopard. He joins us now with the ultimate installation guide to Leopard. Trevor, thanks for joining us.
Brad, what a build-up. Thank you very much.
Well, let's get right into this. The last major update was Tiger, and that was way back in April 2005. What has taken so long for Leopard to arrive?
One word, Brad, iPhone. Back in March, we were all expecting to have a release date of April 2007 for macOS 10.5, and then Apple, Steve Jobs, dropped the iPhone on the world, and he took away a lot of resources from the programming team of Leopard and moved them over to the iPhone temporarily. They even went as far as putting a statement on the Apple website that, sorry, Leopard's been delayed, you will get it eventually, it'll be worth the wait, so please bear with us. In the meantime, here's this great product, the iPhone. So, one word, iPhone.
Well, it seems to have been well worth the wait from what we've been able to tell. So what kind of system are listeners going to need to get the best out of Leopard?
The official version from Apple is that you will need a G4 processor with a minimum speed of 867 megahertz, a minimum amount of RAM of 512 megabytes, and in terms of hard disk space, 9 gigabytes for a minimal installation, 12 gigabytes if you want to install the developer tools. Now, I've come across this in quite a big way recently. I was initially using a G4 1 gigahertz with about a gigabyte and a quarter of RAM in it to test the early versions of Leopard, the betas, and I found that I couldn't run the video effects in iChat. In fact, I went running out and bought myself one of those lovely aluminium glass iMacs, which I'm really chuffed to bits with, and it does everything I need to do in terms of running Leopard, running everything I need for Mac Format articles and so on, and my poor old G4 tower is now a server on the floor of my office. One thing I will also say, Brad, is that people do need to check that their firmware is up to date. For instance, if you have one of the new MacBooks, the Intel MacBooks, or indeed one of the new Intel iMacs, then check for firmware updates, download and install the firmware updates before you think about upgrading to Leopard.
Okay, I've gone out, I've spent my £89 on a copy of Leopard, and I'm ready to upgrade my Mac. How should I go about doing it?
First of all, I would say backup. Every time. If you're going to do a major system upgrade, please go out, buy yourself a large hard disk and back up your system. Use something like Carbon Copy Cloner or Super Duper to back up your hard disk onto another hard disk. You will need that hard disk anyway when it comes to running Leopard's backup feature, Time Machine, which we'll come onto later. But first of all, backup. If you're not too sure your system's up to scratch, your previous installation, think about reformatting your hard disk. There are instructions in the Leopard upgrade article, on how to reformat your hard disk. The best way to do that is a zero-out data reformat, which completely wipes the hard disk. So obviously you will need a system backup and a backup of all your files before you do anything like that. If you're okay with the system you have at present, then I would still think about at least an archive and install installation of Leopard. The way you do that is to click on the options button that comes up immediately after you've chosen the installation language. So click on options, choose archive and install, preserving users and groups, and then you can proceed. What will happen then is that the original system that was installed on your hard disk will be stored in a folder called Previous Systems, which you can delete after a while if you're satisfied there's nothing left in there that you need. But you will, for an archive install installation, need a lot more room than for the standard installation.
Now, Trevor, in the last month, we have seen online a number of reports about problems installing Leopard, whether it's on a G4, G5, or even an Intel-based Mac. Let's go into some of this. I know you can't address all of them because there have been various problems and issues, but talk to us about what you know about these issues and what people should be aware of.
Okay, well, most of the people I've seen with problems have attempted an upgrade install. The file structure, the underlying file structure, from what I've seen of it so far, is very, very different to that for Tiger. If you're performing an upgrade install, then you are likely to fall down. So what I would say is, as I said before, at least think about an archive and install installation of Leopard. Bear in mind, as I said before, that you will need to allow a lot of extra hard disk space for that kind of installation.
Now, you've been playing with Leopard for a really long time, so I'm sure you have your own impressions of what you think of it. Back on the 29th of October show, Chris Finn talked to us about features, so let's kind of stay away from that. But give me your overall impressions of what you think about this OS.
Very, very favorable. For instance, Spotlight is very much faster than in Tiger, and it's now incorporated into the help menu. So if you're looking for something specific, you can type in a search term into the Spotlight search window in the help menu, and it will find all the relevant articles in the macOS 10 help section. Very similar to the Spotlight search built into the system preferences pane, where you can type in a term and it brings up the relevant system preferences panes as a live search. So very favorable so far. The Finder as well I like the new view in Finder, cover flow view. You don't have to be tidy anymore. You can put files wherever you like, and you can find them using the Spotlight search, the Finder. You can flick through files using cover flow, preview them live using a quick look, and it's so much slicker and simpler to use. A lot of people have mentioned the dock. They don't quite like the dock. They think it looks like a kind of a glass shelf in a bathroom. I'm kind of hovering on that one, shall we say, but then again, I hide the dock most of the time anyway, so that doesn't really become an issue for me.
Now, one of the new and highly talked about features in Leopard is Time Machine, which allows you to restore your data from a previous backup. You've been using Time Machine a lot, so what I want to know from you is, how well does it work, and what are some of the most important things Leopard users need to know about it before using it?
So far, so good, Brad. Very good indeed, in fact. I've been using Time Machine since I first used Leopard, and I've tested it, I think, to the limit. I've deliberately deleted files just to see if Time Machine could retrieve them, and it has worked every single time. What I would say is that listeners do need to be careful how they format the hard disk they're going to use with Time Machine. We haven't the time to go into that now, but if they look at the Leopard support section on the Apple website and search for Time Machine, they can find out there how to format their disk properly to work with Time Machine and not seem as though it's run out of space after a few days.
And if anyone out there is undecided whether or not to upgrade, what do you think is the big deciding factor that should be making them think about Leopard?
The big, big deciding factor, I think, is Time Machine. We've talked about this a lot, but Time Machine is a great backup utility. Apple have got it right first time with this one. It really is encouraging a lot of Mac users who never previously thought about backing up to back up. That can only be good news for people who support Macs and people who depend on their data for a living, or indeed for store their family data on their Mac.
So this wait for Leopard was a long one, Trevor. Was it worth the wait, in your opinion?
Yes, absolutely, Brad. All the way down the line, Leopard, I think, has lots of improvements to offer over Tiger. Yes, it's not perfect yet, but we've already seen 10.5.1 released to address some of those issues. We'll see more updates, and as time goes on, then we'll see more features incorporated into Leopard, more corrections to those little things that weren't quite right first time, but still make Leopard a great upgrade.
All right, Trevor, thanks for taking the time to tell us more about what we need to know about Leopard. Unfortunately, we're not going to have you on this episode in our Q&A, but we will see you on the next show. Thanks again so much.
See you next time. Cheers, Brad.
Trevor Middleton is a regular contributor to MacFormat magazine. His 12-page feature, How to Install Leopard, begins on page 24 in the December issue of MacFormat. A better finder and an able archiver. Those are the two shareware choices you'll find in the upcoming December issue of MacFormat. Shareware reviewer Craig Grinnell joins us now to tell you about Pathfinder and Springy. Thanks again for joining us, Craig.
Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
Very good. Let's get right into our first product, and that is Pathfinder version 4.8. It retails for $34.95 U.S. dollars, and its website is cocotech.com. And if you're watching our enhanced version of the podcast, you can get a link to that the website right now. Pathfinder is essentially a file browser, but macOS 10 already comes with Finder. So, Craig, why would you need an alternative like Pathfinder?
Well, it's in a way kind of like asking why, if someone's got GarageBand, why would they need Logic Pro?
Right.
I kind of see Pathfinder and Finder in the same way. Finder is sort of the beginner's Finder in a way, the beginner's file browser, whereas Pathfinder's kind of like Finder Pro.
Okay, so tell us what kind of features Pathfinder has.
Well, it's kind of more of everything, really. There's much more flexibility in terms of how you can configure everything. It's got things like a built-in shelf for pausing drag-and-drop operations, enabling you to collect files really easily. It's got tabs, and frankly, I think tabs are a really great thing in a file browser as well as in a web browser. It enables you to keep all sorts of windows open, but inside, you know, one single window rather than having Finder windows strewn all over your desktop. It's got a fantastically powerful select tool, which is really, really useful if you're trying to collate documents. It shows your folder history. It also enables you to reorder items in the list view via smart sorting, so you can place folders before documents in the list, which I also find very, very handy. And finally, it also typically updates windows much more quickly than Finder does.
Okay, everyone knows that Leopard 10.5 was just recently released, and its Finder has various new features. So is Pathfinder still worth bothering with?
Well, it has to be said, Leopard's Finder definitely stole some of Pathfinder's thunder. One of the great things is that it shows the path to the current document, finally. And it also has Quick Look, which provides really good previews in Finder. And frankly, Finder's previews were really, really awful. And that was one of the things that Pathfinder did really well. However, Pathfinder still feels like a more professional application in many, many ways. And while it lacks some of the glossy features that are now found in Finder, such as Coverflow, which frankly I don't find very useful for file browsing, it still trumps Finder with highly usable features such as tabs, which I already mentioned. Also, there's a new feature in the version of Pathfinder that was released after the one I reviewed, a very, very small update, but it enables you to use Quick Look, which is from Finder in Pathfinder, so it actually kind of matches Apple's best new innovation anyway.
Okay, so the big question is, would you recommend users replace Finder with Pathfinder or not?
Well, the thing is, there's a demo version of Pathfinder available, so it's definitely worth at least checking out, especially if you're tired of Finder's limitations. Oddly enough, you couldn't actually completely replace Finder anyway with Pathfinder. You had to kind of run them simultaneously, but that's changed in version 4.8.2, which was released very recently. However, the thing is, you can just run them simultaneously, and they kind of integrate pretty well and feed off each other.
All right, so that's Pathfinder version 4.8. Craig gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars. Let's move on to product number 2. It got a Mac Choice 5 out of 5. It's Springy version 1.3.2. It's $18. It's available at springyarchiver.com, and again, you can get it through the Enhanced Podcast Connection. Craig, tell us a little bit about what Springy does.
Well, primarily, it's a tool to aid you with archiving things on your Mac, so creating things like zip files. And it comes in sort of two components, two different portions. The first is a contextual menu, which enables you to zip up documents in Finder. And the second is actually a standalone application that you'd launch like any other application. And this enables you to create new archives and also to manage them.
Now, in the Finder, you can control-click on a file or folder and select a Creative Archive option to create a zip file. So why should I pay for this shareware application to do basically the same thing?
Well, to be frank, if you're only creating archives very, very occasionally, it's fair to say that you probably shouldn't bother with Springy. But the thing is, if you archive documents and folders an awful lot, Springy provides you with many, many extra options, much more functionality than Finder does. Just from the context menu, you can create documents of different types, so DMG files, zip, gzip. And if you control-click on an archive, you can extract files to a specific location, and you can also navigate directly into the archive without opening it first, and then extract an item just by choosing it from the menu.
Craig, those features alone are ones that I would definitely use. I do a lot of creating of archives using .zip files, and it would definitely come in handy. So that sounds very useful, but you also said that Springy is a standalone application rather than a contextual menu item. So what does the application itself do?
Well, the application is primarily a management thing as far as I can see. At least that's what I've been using it for. You can create new archive files and then drag and drop items from different Finder locations before compressing them, rather than, you know, doing the usual thing of compiling a folder full of stuff first, which is pretty annoying if you have to do that a lot. You can also do something absolutely brilliant as far as I'm concerned, which is add and delete items from an existing archive without first extracting everything, then kind of finding the one you want, then zipping everything back up. It's a really, really dynamic way of dealing with archives, and it's a big, big time saver.
Yeah, you're right. That is a huge, big time saver. Okay, Springy, version 1.3.2, a Mac Choice Award 5 out of 5. It really has a lot of incredible features available at springyarchiver.com. And again, you can get to it through our enhanced podcast link. Craig, thanks so much for going over the December choices. Have a great holiday season. We'll see you next month.
Yep, see you next month, Brad.
Craig Rennell reviews shareware for Mac Format Magazine. His December picks are on page 100 in the December issue of Mac Format. It's that time of the year again, that time when you rack your brain trying to come up with different and unique Christmas gift ideas for a fellow Mac and iPod user in your life, and maybe just for yourself, what I call a me-to-me gift. Whoever it's for, we've got your valuable Christmas gift guide right here, right now, and even more ideas in the December issue of Mac Format, beginning on page 69. Deputy Editor Chris Finn joins us now with an abbreviated 9 ideas from his Christmas feature. Happy holidays to you, Chris.
And to you, Brad.
Let's get right into it, Chris. You've broken these down into 3 groups: the up to 30-pound group, the 30 to 100-pound group, and the 100 to 400-pound group for those who have lots of money to spend on their loved ones. So let's get into the up to 30-pound group to begin with. And let's begin with your first idea, and that was the Creative Zen Stone. And the first question that comes to my mind is, you're not talking about an iPod here.
That's quite right. I mean, the iPod Shuffle is the obvious competitor to the Creative Zen Stone. But the Zen Stone is £28. It's got a gig of storage, the same as the iPod does, but it's a fraction of the price. The iPod Shuffle is £49, this one's £28, and it essentially does all the same things. It doesn't have a screen like the iPod Shuffle doesn't either, and it comes in a range of colours, some pretty decent headphones come with it, and it works with iTunes as well. It doesn't have quite the same integration that the iPod Shuffle does, but plug it in, it appears as a device in your source list in iTunes, and you can just drag and drop tracks straight onto it. Great little device.
What I think is so great about this is that it's still iTunes compatible, where a lot of the other non-iPod devices aren't.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look on the Creative site, you won't see any mention of that. But when we tested it, you plugged it in, it pops straight up in the source list, and you just drop stuff straight onto it. Lovely little thing.
Okay, so the Creative Zen Stone, £28. You can get to it at dabs.com. And more importantly, if you're watching this podcast on our enhanced podcast through iTunes, you're going to be able to get links to these websites for these products as well as photos of them. So keep that in mind. Now let's move on to the Christmas cracker at less than £30. And that is the Sennheiser CX300 earphones. And these are amazing earphones, Chris.
They're cracking. I mean, when they were first launched, they were about £30. And even at that price, they were still phenomenal value. They're very good little in-ear headphones. They come with a range of 3 different little cups so that they can fit inside your ear nice and snugly. They're by no means the best headphones out there. Other models by Sennheiser, Denon, Shure, Etymotic do much, much better headphones, but they cost much more. These ones you can get now for about £18. They sound great, loads and loads of bass, a little bit lacking in the mid-range, plenty of detail on the high end, and they're just a really, really good upgrade from the earphone buds that come with most players. I mean, the iPod headphone buds are particularly infamous for being a little bit crap. But these ones are fantastic. They sound great, and at £18, you really can't go wrong.
Our third choice is memory, RAM. And many people might not think it's the kind of gift that you give to someone, but believe me, if you're a Mac user, you would love more RAM.
Yeah, I mean, RAM is one of those things that you just can't have enough of, and it's one of the most cost-effective ways of getting more performance out of your Mac. Mac users aren't the sort of people who traditionally go around upgrading processors, graphics cards, even hard disks so much, but stick in an extra gig of RAM and your Mac will fly. Now, it's particularly true if you think of upgrading to Leopard, because although Leopard mandates 512 megabytes of RAM, 512 megabytes really isn't enough to get the best out of it, and it will begin to feel a bit sluggish. An extra gig of RAM, now we've quoted in the feature £22 from Crucial, and that's for the RAM for the latest iMacs. RAM prices themselves fluctuate up and down anyway with the market, and they'll differ depending on what machine you have. But for about £20, you can get a gig of RAM for most of the machines that Apple sells, and it will make a huge, huge difference. Bear in mind that with machines that have got integrated graphics cards, and in particular that means things like the MacBooks and the Mac Minis, it's always recommended that you install RAM in matched pairs.
Right.
That'll give you much better performance than if you're installing one large capacity and one small capacity. It's always worth chucking out or putting on eBay the two small capacity chips and then putting the two higher capacity chips in its place.
Right. So RAM, memory, around £20-22. We recommend Crucial.com/UK. They're a very reputable firm. You can look them up on the web. Now we move on to the £30-100 group of Christmas gift ideas. And Chris, let's begin with the first one there. And it is the Wacom Bamboo Fun. Tell us about this product.
Wacom is best known, particularly in the Mac industry, as a vendor of very high-quality professional graphics tablets. Recently, they've brought out a range of much more consumer-friendly graphics tablets under the sub-brand Bamboo. The one that we've put in the feature is the Bamboo Fun, which is styled in Apple-friendly white. It's got nice big rounded corners, and it looks really fun and easy to use. It's only A6, but it's A6 widescreen. It's a nice little device, both as a creative tool, as a way of touching up photographs. Once you've used a graphics tablet to, for example, apply a quick mask in Photoshop, you will never ever go back to anything else. But it's also a good device, just a general input manipulation device. It's a good way of accessing your files. It takes a bit of getting used to, but the fact that you can just directly point to stuff on your screen rather than mousing over to them really does speed you up once you've got used to it. And of course, it's got a bunch of smart keys as well that you can program. Now, bear in mind that with this device, you get a cracking little application bundled with it. It's called ArtRage, and it's basically a sort of budget version, although it's not made by the same company, but it's a sort of budget version of the Natural Media App Painter. You can use it to create nice little portraits, give it to your kids. Your kids will have great fun with it. It's a really good way of spending Boxing Day, let's say.
All right, so the Wacom Bamboo Fun, £64. You can check it out, and we got the best price at shop.bt.com. Product number two is the Extreme Mac Luna, and this is really a iPod speaker system that you can use as an alarm clock as well.
iPod speaker systems are a dime a dozen these days, and it takes something really special to stand up above the crowd, but the Extreme Mac Luna is one that really does. It's £70, and it sounds great. It's got a lovely, full, rich sound, plenty of volume as well. Doesn't have a battery pack in it, so you can't take it outside, but it sounds absolutely brilliant, and as you say, it can work as an alarm clock as well. It's got an AM/FM radio inside it. You can set a couple of different alarms on it so that you can have an alarm set for you and an alarm set for your partner. You can have it alarming you with music from the iPod or from the radio, whatever you want. But most of all, the thing that really impressed us with it, as with Extreme Mac's other iPod speaker system, the Tango, is the sound. It just sounds really rich and full and lovely. And for £70, it's an absolute steal.
Yeah, it really does sound nice, and it is a good price, the Extreme Mac Luna. Product number three, I happen to know for a fact that you really like this because you reviewed it in a lab about a couple of months back, and that's the Logitech Quick Cam Pro for notebooks. This is a fantastic web camera that's almost better than the camera, the EyeSight camera, built in to Apple's laptops.
Oh yeah, definitely, it is better. I mean, it performs so much better than the EyeSight, particularly in low light situations. If you've just got a lamp on in the room, or you don't have very strong overhead lighting there, or you're not talking at midday in the Sahara, it does really, really well, and much, much better than the EyeSight. It's about £55, so it's one of the more pricey models. The image quality is superb, the audio quality as well is very good, and it just plugs in with a single USB port, plug it straight in. It's supported natively in macOS 10, 10.4.9 and later. Plug it in, and it's all ready to go. It works with PCs as well, so it's an ideal gift for any computer user in your family. And the nice thing, the reason I've put it in the Christmas gift guide here and the reason I'm highlighting it on the podcast is because at Christmas time you can't get everybody in your family and friends physically together in the same room. Then at least if you can buy them one of these webcams, you can all be together thanks to the power of something like iChat or Skype.
Great idea. £55. We found it best priced at technoworld.com. We move on to the big ones, the 100 to 400 pound luxury gift idea list. And Chris, the ones on those were a little bit more funky, more geeky, I think, in a way. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. Let's go with number one, and that's the Dell 2407 WFP. And this is a fantastic standalone 24-inch display. If you can afford this at £405, it's going to last you a long time. I know that.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's by no means the best quality display out there. In fact, if you're doing color critical work, I would recommend against it. But for most people who are not doing absolutely color pure work, it's a brilliant, brilliant monitor, and it's amazing value for money. I reviewed this first a couple of years ago, and it was then about £700. It's come down now to £405 that we found at pcbuyit.co.uk, and it's phenomenal value. It's a 24-inch widescreen, as you say. It's 1920 by 1200 pixel display, which is the maximum size that you can draw from, let's say, a MacBook as a second display or from a Mac Mini. It's got a USB hub, and a really nice touch to this, it's actually got a memory card reader system in the side of it, so you don't have to have a memory card reader separately. It's just got a bunch of slots in the side that accept up to 9 formats from your camera. It's phenomenal value, and you give that to any Mac user, they're going to have a big smile on their face for the rest of the day. Cracking thing as well if you're doing video conferencing, because it's really big picture, you can get the family around it, and with iChat AV's four-way video conferencing, you could have everybody sat around the virtual table, and it could be a really nice time.
If there's anyone out there, Chris, and this includes you, that would like to give this Dell display to me to go with my new MacBook, I'd be happy to take it for Christmas. Just let me know.
Will do. Hey, I'll keep that in mind, Brad. You're on my list.
That's right. I know. Let's move on to number two. I'm living in a fantasy world. Number two, the Lego Mindstorm NXT. And this is a fun toy. Tell us about it.
I must confess, this is quite a personal choice. Again, this is on my Christmas list. So, Brad, you know, if you're feeling generous. But this is... This is Lego, and I played with Lego as a kid. I think Lego's a fantastic thing. It's really good for children to grow up with using, because it really engenders those qualities of innovation and experimentation that I think are really important, particularly in this modern age when people seem to be consuming much more culture rather than actually producing it. Lego's a great thing. You can build toys with it. The Mindstorms NXT is their new computerized system. Now, basically, the NXT system comes with a main central console, a sort of CPU, and a bunch of sensors. You get visual sensors and motion sensors and pressure sensors and that sort of stuff, and you can use all these, hook them all together, program them from your PC or your Mac, and you can build robots that actually do stuff. So the most obvious thing is to build a robot that walks and talks and reacts to its environment, but you can also use it to build machines that will automate processes for you, or things that will lift and carry and drop and that sort of stuff. It used to be that it wasn't compatible with Mac. It now is. The whole system's based on a very open programming language that people can hook into. It's just a great thing, and it will bring no end of good educational fun for all the family. And I include in that the dads as well as the sons and daughters.
All right, so the Lego Mindstorms NXT, £160. We found the best price at Amazon.co.uk. And finally on our list is the Denon DM35DAB plus the iPod dock, the ASD1R. And what's great about this is that while we talked about the Extreme Mac Tango earlier as a good, nice speaker dock system, you definitely want to buy a proper hi-fi and high-quality dock stereo system, and this is one of them.
Absolutely. The thing that annoys me about iPod speaker systems, particularly when you get up to the high end, is that you're talking about £250. And for that sort of money, actually, to hell with a dedicated iPod speaker system. Get yourself a proper hi-fi. Denon makes beautiful little things. This is a lovely, chunky little mini hi-fi. A couple of really clear, crisp, and neutral sounding speakers. And Denon makes its own iPod dock that connects up to it with high-quality interconnects. The whole package works out about £350. The bang for buck you're getting there is incredible. Audio quality from this is just beautiful, and it far outperforms even the most expensive dedicated iPod speaker systems. This one includes DAB, which I really like, the digital audio broadcasting version of FM. Now, if you've never used DAB, it's basically digital radio, and it sounds lovely. As long as you're in an area that's covered by DAB, and most places are these days, you get absolutely crystal clear audio quality on the radio, and you get a bunch of other channels as well, things like BBC Seven, which is a great drama and comedy channel.
Right.
You get a bunch of good stuff, and this is just the absolute bee's knees. It's what I would have. In fact, I'm saving up right now for it as my audio speaker system for my iPod.
Yeah, a really nice all-around speaker system that really enhances the use of your iPod for music. We found the best price at avland.co.uk, so you'll want to go there. And that is our third product and really rounds out our entire list of the Christmas gift ideas that you came up with for December. Chris, thanks so much. These are great ideas.
My pleasure, Brad, and Merry Christmas to you and to all the folk listening to the podcast.
Same to you, Chris. Thanks so much. Chris Finn is deputy editor of Mac Format. His Christmas gift guide begins on page 69 in the December issue. And that's it for another edition of Mac Format this week. My thanks to Trevor Middleton, Craig Grinnell, and Chris Finn. Our associate producer is Misha Sakalaropoulou. Join us again for our next edition on Monday, the 10th of December. Until then, I'm Brad Gibson. Thanks for joining us.